The idea of having a labor day, you see, implies many things. Not that people have not been laboring since the beginning. Adam was put in the garden. It says, l'avoda l'shumra, to work it and to keep it. And the rabbis say, that's the garden, but it's also the Torah, to work it and to keep it. Now, when did we start having a prayer for labor? When there was capital. You know, before that, I mean, and still everybody works. But that division happened, well, we don't have a whole lot of time, but you see, when the sources of power were tapped the right way, and then we had machines that could make large quantities of things. So people had to own those machines and keep care of those machines and all that. It really began, I mean, the first capitalists, in a way, were the Cistercian monks. They had huge wool industry, but the factory was the sheep. I mean, they didn't need a lot of other stuff. So then it became that, you know, when power was discovered, steam, all that sort of thing, electricity finally, and some people owned that, and they were called, they had capital, they had money to acquire that and to keep it up. And then there was labor, the people who worked for them. And the beginning of that was atrocious, the exploitation of the poor. So that's when Marx wrote Das Kapital on capital and excoriated it as a terrible thing, as a means of persecution, exploitation, and so forth. And so Lenin and others took that principle and said, well, then the way for this to work is for the state to own all that. And then there'll be no injustice. I mean, people in the state are going to be any more righteous than the people? No. And so we still are faced with this challenge of how our structure of our whole civilization is based on means of production and labor. Now, how do we work this out? Well, there have been some suggestions. The popes have written many letters, encyclicals on this question. Rerum Novarum was one of the first. That was Leo XIII. The most recent was Laborum Exercens. That's the one by John Paul II. And so we need a Christian vision of how, in a world where there is sin, exploitation, greed, sloth, how do we find a way? And you'll find, I'm going to read just a few lines of it and go back to what I want to say. There's a, in the Magnificat for today, there is this writing of John Paul II. And I'll just read a little bit of it. See, despite all this toil, perhaps in a sense because of it, work is a good thing for man, even though it bears the mark of an arduous good in the terminology of St. Thomas. This does not take away the fact that as such, it is a good thing for man. Why? Think of the dignity. You know, I mean, whatever kind you work, take it, you know, just a farmer. A farmer ministers to the laws of the soil and the seed. He takes care of that, you know, makes the soil proper, then plants the seed. Nowadays, you know, with huge tractors, but nevertheless. Well, if we didn't have the huge tractors, we wouldn't be able to feed the world. You know, if you've ever been to Canada, you know, or even out here in the West, in the U.S., you know, miles of absolutely flat land and quite fertile, even though we keep pulling the stuff out of it, we can put it back in. So the soil is our factory. And that's where the population explosion began. We couldn't have fed all these people until that time. And so the challenge is to have a Christian approach to the dignity and the vocation of labor. You see, and that's what the Pope is saying here. If one wishes to define more clearly the ethical meaning of work, it is this truth that one must particularly keep in mind. Work is a good thing for man, a good thing for his humanity, because through work, man not only transforms nature, adapting it to his needs, which was the command in Genesis, right? You put him in the garden, l'avodah l'shomra, to work it and to keep it. It's the conditions of the work that are the punishment for sin, not the work, you see? Doesn't always feel like that in the morning when you have to get up and go to work, but I mean, it's true. It's the dignity to guide this universe, you see? And without this consideration, it is impossible to understand the meaning of the virtue of industriousness. And more particularly, it is impossible to understand why industriousness should be a virtue. For virtue as a moral habit is something whereby man becomes good as man. This fact in no way alters our justifiable anxiety that in work, whereby matter gains in nobility, man himself should not experience a lowering of his own dignity. Now it can happen, you know, labor can be exploited. But then, everybody can be a slave to work, money, security. And so they become their own slaves because we don't have a just proportioned understanding of God. And as our Lord says, you know, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. The pagans worry about that. They don't know God. You know my Father. That doesn't mean we take a lifetime vacation. It just means that we remember that the conditions of work are part of our penance. But work is a dignity. It's what, you know, this universe is directed by human mind and effort. And when we neglect that, or when we pervert it, as happens, and then the biggest obstacle to carrying out our vocation, even in this post-original sin world, is greed. That's the greatest thing that drives. And greed is driven by fear. I might not have enough. When you got $30 million you're worried about, you know. But we're like that. Why? See, that's why people who know the Lord and serve Him, of course they worry about paying their bills or making sure the farm is going to produce, but they love God. Whereas if we don't know the Lord, what have we? But stuff that we can use to put in a hole in our head. That's how we live. And then lots to buy nice clothes and go on trips and have power. That's where the sin. So this reason why the church takes this day or profits by this day of labor is to remind us of the great dignity we have in working and that we can preserve its beauty and its dignity by not being greedy, by not needing more and more and more and more. The word in Greek for greed is pleonexia, which means always wanting to produce more. So, as we pray today for this, you see, let us pray that the Lord in His mercy raise up many people who understand the laws of the economy and direct them in a way that is righteous and brings peace. What's happening right now in our own country, you see, is that some of Marx's basic principles are trying to be implemented. The basic one is that the government decides about labor and just reward and all. No. The normal interaction between human beings, if they're striving to be upright and obey God, that's where that should take place. We don't need a government, because what happens always, the Soviet government was run by a clique, right? Now the clique owned 5 and 6 homes. They had millions of dollars in this great effort to make sure everything was equal, right? And their people were standing on the street in lines waiting for the food, which was hard to obtain. It was a total failure. And the failure was not the system, though it was a bad system. It's the heart. Power, money, security for myself, myself, myself. So this Labor Day, which is a government holiday, honoring labor, is a good thing. But we Christians must take it as a vocation. And when things are difficult, we offer that up for our sins and the sins of the world. But that, you see, we need a Christian perfection. And if you want, if you go online, you can get this. I forgot what the English title of this, but you'll find it. You know, John Paul II. It's called Laborum Exercens in Latin. And I forgot what it's called in English. But it's on work. It's a great meditation. All right.